that the cross has been moved as it needed to be up front. It needed to be the focus. And recognizing that he took your flesh and mine, and it was the Father who placed that flesh on his Son. That's how the intercession came. It was the Father's will to place us and our flesh and our weaknesses on him. And it came in loud and clear. Why are you struggling? It's already been done. So I want to make sure that you realize that it's done. It's not something that's going to be done. It's already done. The Lord brought me to a book that I studied many years ago by Kelly Verner called The Priesthood is Changing. And he brought me to chapter 9 today on several occasions. And I want to share with you a little bit of what you tasted on Sunday and again tonight. Sunday was very different because it was a time to recognize that the body of Christ is one unit. It's not all about one prophet satisfying himself or herself, but it is all about the Lord. So, Father, without any flesh in the way, God willing, this message will open up a new principle so that the sons of God will be focused on what the voice of the Son, S-O-N, is speaking. The mouthpiece principle is most relevant and is tied to the preceding one, especially its concluding sections on the sons of the prophets. In the Old Testament, we are hearing much about prophets and prophetesses, and there are some in these days that are actually following the Old Covenant rather than the New. Indeed, men must hear the word of the Lord, and God is speaking through his servants, the prophets. However, the priesthood is changing, and we are shifting from the voice of many to the voice of one. From the voice of the prophets to the voice of the Son. S-O-N, period. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." Now, that hasn't changed. The key verse teaches that the prophets do not make things happen. We only declare what his majesty has determined to do. The Feast of Pentecost is marked by a company of prophets. The Feast of Tabernacles is the platform for the prophet. And I stress the word the, T-H-E, prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The voice of the prophets are to be swallowed up in the voice of the Son. We learn in chapter 3, etc., about the changing of the covenant, the taking away of the Old Testament, and the establishing of the New. Consider that truth, again in the light of verse that's going to be read in a moment. The prophets were the voice of the Old Covenant. The Son is the voice of the New. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The prophet is God's mouthpiece, one who speaks for another. The mouthpiece principle is essential to a priesthood that is changing. All present-day visions for prophetic ministry must be kept in the perspective of God's ultimate purpose. Anything said herein that may adjust or seem to correct such vision is spoken with his view of the whole or to the whole. I move in the prophetic, etc., etc., and I've experienced many things, including 1 Corinthians 14:3. And many times there's been what we've done tonight. People doing what they need to do in obedience as a corporate team. The realm of the prophet, the Son, is the realm of the most holy place. There is something far greater than the world's foremost prophets laying hands on you and prophesying the word of the Lord over your life. The voice of Jesus himself within your spirit is greater. Try that one on for size. Say, when Jesus speaks to me within my spirit, it is greater than the prophetic. Hallelujah. This part, tighten your seatbelts. This chapter might be a little rough on those who have an ego problem. Men and women who must be center stage, wanting to be seen and heard. Others who oppose the present-day prophetic move may think that I am in their corner, but they have often misunderstood God's word too. Being led by their reason, these spiritual stoics need praying grandmothers. Isn't that a cool statement? God is restoring the prophetic church, but it must be held in the perspective of three dimensions, not just two. It is passing, not permanent, like the issue of authority and submission. The prophetic is a vehicle, a means to an end, and not an end to itself. The priesthood is changing, and the streams of the prophets must flow into one river, the voice of the Son. Try that one on for size. Say, the priesthood is changing, and the streams of the prophets must flow into one river, the voice of the Son. This is what we experience Sunday, quite dramatically. You lived it. You experienced it. You watched it manifest. And some of you had problems with your lower lips, and your jaws were hanging because you were overwhelmed, and you saw the streams join one major course. I need to hear an amen.
Amen.
Moses, the prophet, is a good illustration. The children of Israel were content to let the man of God go up the mountain and talk to the Lord, while Moses heard for them. They rose up and played. Amen. Many today are immature and irresponsible, compassing land and sea, drooling for a word. Prophecy is precious. We do not make light of those of you who really need to hear from the Lord. But we are declaring how we are to survive the next 10 years. You must learn to hear the voice of Jesus for yourself. I should have heard an amen.
Amen.
The purpose of every good parent, pastor, or prophet is that those under their care learn to pray and listen for the voice of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, only Moses and the elders climbed the mountain. In the New Testament, because of a rent veil, each of us, all of us, can go to the mountain. Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Proverbs 20, verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. Now, Ezekiel 34, verse 11 through 16. For this is what the Lord, sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock. When he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend to my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will... What do you think he's going to do to the sleek and the strong? Take a guess. What is he going to do with the sleek and the strong? Huh? Yeah, he will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Those who are self-contained and are a God unto themselves will be dealt with by the Lord. Not very pretty. But you know, let's be honest. The Holy Spirit impacted the church. He invaded the church. He pushed buttons to get the church to wake up. And I'm not talking about one particular denomination more than another. I'm talking about all the denominational churches. He impacted those churches, and he came in, and he began to rule. And they didn't like it. And I'm not judging them. God is. The Holy Spirit will not be set aside so that man's flesh can be elevated. It's not going to happen. God is not silly. He'll give them a time to repent and a time to make up their minds that they can change. You know, at one time, there was a word that was given to me that I would be an instrument for God to use to eradicate the old. And I thought, oh my God, how can this be? How can this be? How and why would you use someone like... Come on, you can fill in the blank. It's you too. You are radical in the eyes of the church. I'm not talking about the real church, the body of Christ. I'm talking about the denominational churches. You will not fit in. And the more we grow and mature, the less we fit in. Well, when's the last time you let yourself go into a ritual situation? And you say, oh my God, what am I doing here? Not because you want to criticize, because you used to live there. Amen? Amen. It's not a critical thing. It's a reality check that you have grown. And you've matured. And you're now the corporate voice being shaped by the Holy Spirit to have an impact on many hearts. And yes, the darkness is trying so hard to put a guilt trip on you and to slap you down with some legalistic garbage. And God is saying, stop it. God is saying you need to be what I've called you to be in spite of what you think that you are or were. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Notice the corporate. John 10:4-5. That was the King James. The NIV says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Acts 9:7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Psalms 50:5. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Meditate on these verses as the priesthood is being changed. There is a gathering unto one by the voice of one who... One, it is not the voice of two, but the voice of one. Every man and woman who has been gifted with the prophetic spirit of Elijah, spirit, needs to say with John the Baptist, I am the voice of one. Matthew 3:1-3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophets Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. When harmony and unity happened without the Holy Spirit in Genesis, they had created a wonderful tower. And the Word of God says, because they agreed, nothing was impossible to them. And what did God do? He brought confusion. And he brought that confusion in them to the point that they could not communicate. And when I let my spirit speak, only those who have an open spirit will understand the word, and the interpretation will come to those he wants, not to satisfy flesh. A few weeks ago, I had a person on the phone. They were angry, bitter, miserable towards God. And I finally said, shut up. I'm going to be very bold. And they didn't stop. And I said, shut up. I don't want to hear any more English. And they stopped. Would you do me a favor? Would you put your right hand over your tummy, please? Why? Because I'm asking you to. I want you to switch gears. They finally complied, and I said, and they began to speak in the heavenly language, and the breakthrough came, and all the anger started to fall away. Lift your hands to him. Say, when I release my spirit, I become the voice of one who has a plan for my life. It's not a plan to condemn. It's a plan to lift me up. It's a plan to build me up. And to renew me. and to strengthen me, and to bless me, and to heal me. Hallelujah. That's all she wrote. That must be that train, right? I don't know whoever's listening to this. If you think we're a little bit cuckoo, you're qualified to give that judgment, and you might be right. Be a blessing to those around you, and share some hugs to each other. Amen.